Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Sunday Gathering, a time to connect with Creator through prayer and reflection. Each week, the clergy of the Community Catholic Church of Canada gather to worship together, and we invite you to join us. We are an inclusive and progressive denomination in the Anglican Roman Catholic tradition. And now, let's prepare our hearts for worship and create sacred space to be blessed by God. Good evening and welcome to our service of worship on this last Sunday before Lent, the Transfiguration of the Lord. Our homilist is Chancellor Janet Warren. And now let us prepare our hearts for our service. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. We ask for your forgiveness and your unlimited mercy to embrace us and restore us with your grace. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. May the God of love and power forgive you and free you from your sins, heal and strengthen you by the Holy Spirit, and raise you to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. This is the Collect for the Transfiguration of the Lord. Almighty God, on the Holy Mount, you revealed to chosen witnesses your well-beloved Son, wonderfully transfigured. Mercifully deliver us from the darkness of this world and change us into his likeness from glory to glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 24, beginning at the 12th verse. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instruction." So Moses set out with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. To the elders he said, "Wait here for us until we come to you again, for Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute may go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day he called to Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain, in sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm appointed between elections is Psalm 2. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed, saying, "Let us burst their bonds asunder and cast their cords from us." He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord has them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath, and terrifying them in his fury, saying, "I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill." I will tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with the rod of iron, and dash them in pieces like potter's vessel." Now therefore, O kings, be wise, Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, with trembling kiss his feet, or he will be angry, and you will perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Happy are all who take refuge in him. Ruler of heaven and earth, you sent your Holy Son into the world to be our Redeemer, and by raising him from the dead, you gave him the victory all over his enemies. Show us the power of your saving love, and bring us to share in your eternal kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen.
A reading from the first letter to Peter, chapter 1, beginning with the 16th verse. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been witnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory for God the Father, and when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. You will do well to be attentive to this as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in our hearts. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will, but men and women, moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel is written in the 17th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, beginning at the first verse. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." Here ends the Gospel.
Hello, everyone. Today's Gospel is brought to you by Matthew, since it's year A in the church calendar, and it speaks to the great story of the transfiguration of our Lord. Although I really kind of wanted to speak to Moses as I sat down to gather words for today's homily and wandered my way through the readings, and these are all great readings today. I just love the whole thing about Moses getting the Ten Commandments from God. Now, truth be told, as I think about Moses coming from Mount Sinai, I was picturing the good-looking Charlton Heston in the movie The Ten Commandments. I'll bet that if you're over 50 years of age, you're thinking about the Charlton Heston version of Moses, am I right? Well, what happened on Mount Sinai was pretty fantastic, and fantasies put aside, Moses was believed to be about 80 years old when all this happened. So that alone makes this event pretty fantastic. Truthfully, today's reading from the Old Testament was actually just the anticipation of all that good stuff, because it has God speaking to Moses at the beginning of the reading and asking him to come meet him on the mountain. God specifically says to Moses, I'll quote this part, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment which I have written for their instruction." So the part about the transfiguration of Moses, spoiler alert, doesn't come until later in Exodus. Although my main takeaway from Moses on Mount Sinai, and yes, I did hear everything on Facebook that Moses was the first to receive a message on his tablet, my main takeaway was the commandments themselves. But that's because that's what gets the press, if you will. However, like I said, that doesn't happen till later in the book of Exodus, because today's reading is just the anticipation of that event. So that's the first reading, the Old Testament reading for today. In today's second reading, which comes from the second letter to Peter, it tells of God's true approval of his Son Jesus Christ, when the epistle reminds us that God says, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." And later in this reading, there are the words that we must also take heed of. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will, but men and women moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Indeed. So now I come to the Holy Gospel for today. As an aside, Moses appears in this reading as well, quite literally, as you heard. But first, the Gospel reading tells of the transfiguration that Jesus went through right in front of three of the disciples. This particular gospel telling of the event doesn't go into any more detail than to tell of that transformation happening. It doesn't mention what Jesus was doing when it happened. I'll come out and right now and tell you. Jesus was praying to his Father. And then, after this amazing transfiguration, Jesus is with Moses and Elijah. This is witnessed by Peter, John, and James, those three of Jesus' chosen disciples who were asked to accompany Jesus at this time. But think about that for just a minute. Moses and Elijah had died some years before this event even takes place. Isn't that interesting? But even more interesting than that is what happens next. A bright cloud comes down and overshadows the disciples and kind of freaks them out a bit. And if they weren't quaking in their boots enough, the voice of God then says, "This is my Son, my beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Wow, just wow. What would you have done if you were there? Pretty profound stuff happening in today's gospel. And here I was wanting to focus on Moses. What is also significant, though, is the last verse of this reading, this gospel, which tells of them coming back down the mountain where Jesus orders them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." Wait, what? That's a lot to take in from these nine verses at the beginning of this 17th chapter of Matthew. Let me summarize. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up a high mountain. Jesus is transfigured before them, where his face shines like the sun and his clothes become dazzling white. Then this bright cloud comes down and they hear the word of God telling them, among other things, to listen to Jesus. And then Jesus tells them not to tell anyone that he's until after he's raised from the dead. That's quite the secret to keep. I will point out that in the previous chapter of Matthew, Jesus did already warn them of his death and resurrection, so at least they'd been given a heads up about that part. Okay, so where are we at? Well, I wanted to focus on Moses, and in particular those two tablets of the covenant, because that's pretty cool stuff. But today's really about the transfiguration of Jesus. And it seems that as much as I wanted to focus on Moses, let's face it, this is Transfiguration Sunday. This is when God puts his final and very obvious stamp of approval on his Son, if you will. It is a miracle of sorts, but rather than being performed by Jesus, it's performed on him. I read somewhere that Thomas Aquinas considered the Transfiguration to be the greatest miracle, and according to Wikipedia, it complements the baptism of Jesus and shows the perfection of heaven. That's really, really important stuff. It goes on to say that it's one of the five major milestones in the life of Jesus, the others being his baptism, crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension, of course, the latter three happening a little after Lent. That's pretty amazing stuff. And now, let's take the time to look at what all that great stuff means to us. This is that pivotal moment when, if you weren't sure if Jesus was truly the Son of God, you are now. It was obvious to his disciples. It becomes obvious to us as well. And how do you know that he is the chosen one? Well, his Father, our Father, said so. He literally said so. And God even provided some great visual clues, too. Here's the quote from a website called All About Jesus Christ. The Son of God came to earth in the form of a man to be the true servant of God and to gift mankind with the greatest gift ever given, eternal life. The transfiguration of Jesus Christ was a visible sign in the presence of reliable witnesses of the reality of the power of God and the glory, which is Jesus Christ. So what does this word transfiguration actually mean? It comes from Latin roots, of course, where trans means across and figura means form or shape, really just as it sounds. Jesus' appearance changed. The gospel says it right there. His face shone like the sun and his clothes became dazzling white. What an awesome privilege it was for the three disciples to witness this amazing event. Can you imagine how you might have felt had you witnessed this amazing event? We also have to ask ourselves, why did Jesus allow them to witness this amazing transfiguration? It had to be to strengthen their faith, I would imagine, just as reading the gospel today has done for us and continues to do for us every time we read it. There to see it ourselves. But we know that Matthew, Mark, and Luke all describe the events of that day in their own Gospels, so we might truly understand what happened and why. So there were truly very reliable witnesses to this absolutely amazing event. Well, again, I started out wanting to focus on Moses, but came around to the transfiguration of Jesus, which is what today is all about. So, what about our own transfiguration, or perhaps transformation? For me, and it's only figuratively at this point in my life, I changed and saw God in my own way and welcomed the Holy Spirit that I may be able to share my thoughts with anyone willing to listen. My thoughts about my faith and my understanding that others may go on with their own transfiguration or transformation journey. I hope I'm successful, at least in a small way, as I preach the word. How will you experience your own transfiguration? Has the word transformed you already, that you have the Spirit shining through you as you go about your day-to-day activities? Can you lead others to their transformation? Can you live and breathe that what transfiguration is all about in all that you do? As you go through the coming weeks, think about this transfiguration, or on our level, a transformation of our hearts and our minds. How do we show the world that we are forever changed? And now here's a prayer for transfiguration of our Lord. God our Father, in the transfigured glory of your Christ, your Son, you strengthen our faith by confirming the witness of your prophets and by showing us the splendor of your beloved Son. Help us become heirs to the eternal life with him who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A time of intercessory prayer. In peace, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy. From peace on high and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For peace of the whole world, for the welfare of the Holy Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our bishops, for all the clergy and people, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the leaders of every nation, and for all in authority, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For each and every city and community, for those who live in them in faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For good weather and for abundant harvests for all to share, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who travel by land, water, or air, for the sick and the suffering, for Reverend Debbie Ann, for Reverend Sherry and her husband Dave, Reverend Sherry's Aunt Anne and her cousins John, Toby, and Heidi, Reverend Jane and Dino, Reverend Pat and Dave, Reverend Carol and Wayne, Reverend Charlene, Father Philip, Reverend Jeanette, Melissa and family, George, Phyllis, and Pat, Bishop Jean, CJ, Julie, Chris, Tricia, C, John, Diane, Laura, Nancy, Sherry, Paul, Kywin, Christine, Mia, Chloe and family, for V, for M, for L, for C, for D, for A, Sharon, D, Lawrence, Jess, Rob, Martin, Elba, Betty, Tom, Lisa, Cheryl, for Ken's brother, Timbo and family, for Gila, Cherry, Reverend Charlene's brother and sister-in-law, and any others known to us, for prisoners or captives, and for their safety, health, and salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For our deliverance from all affliction, strife, and need, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all who have died, for Reverend Sherry's Uncle Jay, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Remember all the saints, we commit ourselves, one another, and our whole life to Christ our God.
To you, O Lord.
Almighty God, you have given us grace at this time, with one accord to make our common supplications to you. And you have promised through your well-beloved Son that when two or three are gathered together, you will hear their requests. Fulfill now our desires and petitions, as may be best for us, granting us in this world knowledge of your truth, and in the age to come eternal life, For you, Father, are good and loving, and we glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, in the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has commanded and taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Linked by spirit, voice, and intention, we are wrapped in the love of God, all one in spirit, beyond the limits of time and space. Around the world at this very moment, countless prayers are being lifted. Songs of praise are being offered, bread and wine is being blessed to nurture God's dear children. United in Christ, we lift our prayers and praise to God, and we give thanks that we too are spiritually fed in this time of worship. Lord Jesus, you call us to follow you. We love you above all things, and we give thanks that you transform our hearts with your love. Embrace each of us now. Unite us to you in this time of worship and every moment of our day. We give thanks that we are all fashioned by your love, gifted by your grace, upheld by your loving presence. May the blessings that we receive in this sacred connection move us to be blessings in the world. Amen. May we be the hands of Christ, assisting one another. May we be the voice of Christ, speaking up against injustice and unloving actions. May we be the heart of Christ, reaching out with compassion and healing. May we have the understanding of Christ and see all as our brother and sister and this planet as a sacred and holy world. And may the Holy Spirit guide us and empower us this day to accomplish our purpose with love and abundant joy. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forevermore. Amen.
Go forth in the world, rejoicing in the power of the Spirit.
Thanks be to God. Thank you for joining us this day for our time of worship. If you have a prayer request, please send it along to communitycatholicchurch@gmail.com. If you'd like to make a financial donation to help support our ministry, please visit the website at www.communitycatholicchurch.com. Join us next week at 10:30 a.m. for the next Sunday gathering. Blessings to you in the name of our God of love.